This week on Journey Through the Word at Horizon Indy, Bill Goodrich takes us through Philippians in a message entitled Introduction to Philippians.
Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 for a moment, as today we start the book of Philippians. But if you don't have a Bible, I need to encourage you to get one. We're going to go through a lot of scripture this morning. And so it'll be good for you to be able to go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, word by word as we go through. So just raise your hand and they'll get you a Bible. We use the New King James Version here. It's not that we don't like the other versions, but we just happen to use that one. And so it's good to have that version in front of you as we go through that. Okay, you guys excited today? God good? Yes. You ready for a lot of word? You ready for a lot of word? Okay, we'll dive into the Word of God today. We're going to do something that I have only done once before in 30-some years that I can remember here in this church. And we're going to look, and I'll explain it in just a moment. But I'll tell you, first of all, the reason why we're going to do what we're going to do, look at verse 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. The first word is what that you see in verse 16? All, okay? Now, I'm going to be asking you guys to respond a little bit today, okay? So don't be inhibited, okay? It won't hurt you to respond. So the first word is?
All.
And all means?
All.
It means all. Notice, all Scripture. All Scripture. Even Leviticus. Okay? Sometimes people have problems with Leviticus, you know? But all Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. That means it's God-breathed. God has breathed the scripture that we're going to look at today. God has breathed that word that is important to us because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So it's God-breathed. He has a purpose for it. He anoints it in our lives. He uses it in our lives, as we'll see here. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Don't you like to be profitable? Yeah, financially, it's okay to be profitable. That's a good thing in our business to be profitable, our work to be profitable, our family to be profitable. There's a Bible college student here, just started this semester. He and his wife have 16 children. I'd say they've been profitable, okay? And it's not twins or triples or anything. 16 children in that way. So they rejoice at being profitable, okay? It's good to be that way. But all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Notice the first one is doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine is a group of teaching about a certain subject. For instance, let's look at salvation. Salvation as a subject. There's all kinds of teaching that goes around that and forms the doctrine that is taught around there. Jesus, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That is one verse that we can look at to develop the doctrine of salvation. So doctrine is a group of truths, realities, scriptures that point to a certain subject that we are to be profitable in. Notice he goes on for reproof. The word of God is there to reprove us. That is good. At times we need to be reproved. Sometimes we wander a little bit. Sometimes we have challenges. Sometimes we become impatient. The word will come into our lives and it will reprove us if we don't allow it. The first, notice it says there, and next for reproof for correction. Correction is where he comes into our life and we want him to correct us. We want to listen to correction so we won't have to get to that place of reproof. But the Word of God will be used by the Holy Spirit in both areas as we go forward that way. So again, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. How do we live righteously? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. It tells us right there. Of late, I've been going. I always have now for over 30 years read through, or is it 30 or 40 years? Yeah, over 40 years now have read through the book of Proverbs. Every month I go through that. And of late, I've been now slowing down a little bit, not reading it, but I've been praying it. I've been praying it for the fellowship. I've been praying it for my life, slowing down enough just to pray it into being. Not just there that I observe it and I want to stand upon it and I understand what it means, but to pray it. And so for instruction in righteousness, the Word of God will do that. Now notice verse 17, that the man of God, the woman of God, may be complete. That's the word mature. We get our word mature. That might be mature, complete, thoroughly equipped for what? Every good work. And so we founded this fellowship. The Holy Spirit founded this fellowship over 30 years ago. And we were committed at that point to be in the Word of God because of this truth. So men and women, as it says right there, might be mature, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's where it comes from. That's what it says. You believe it, don't you? God says it, we believe it. You know, and so that's very beautiful. So today, now go with me to Philippians. We are starting the book of Philippians. Anybody go, yay? Starting the book of Philippians. Now, we are now at this very moment, we're getting in a couple buses. And you got to envision this, okay? Because in reality, it won't happen. But we're going to get in a couple buses, maybe three buses, whatever it is. And we are now driving down, okay, Ball Creek, till we get to that left-hand turn, and we make that left-hand turn to get on 465 South. We are now on 465 South, heading over there in the right lane, because Highway 70, we're going to make a right-hand turn. So right now, we've already made that right-hand turn, and we're on heading west on 70. And before you know it, we'll be down to what they call the spaghetti bowl. Is that what they call it? Spaghetti bowl. And that's where we are right now. And so we're making a left-hand turn, but we're not going to get on Highway 65. Is that 65? Yeah, we do for a little bit. Yeah. We're going to get off on State Street. I think it's State Street or one of those streets down there, New York Street, whatever it is. So now that's where we are right now. Then we're going down all the way down there until we get to this 54-story building. And I don't know what they call it anymore. They change the name all the time, whatever it is. But guess what? We have just gotten off the bus. And we're off the bus. We're piling on. We're looking around. What is Bill up to? You have no idea what I'm up to. I haven't told you, but you're just willing to trust me. And so now we go through the floor because I prearranged that this number of people would be on the bus, get off the bus, be able to go through, and we're going to climb on elevators. Now, it's going to take us a little while, but we're going to get on this elevator, and we're going to go up to the 54th floor. And up on the 54th floor, there's a penthouse, a big up there. I don't know if there is or not. I've never been there. But let's just say there's this big room. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to go over to the window. And everybody put their nose against the window and look down. What do you see? You see streets. You see buildings. You see cars going by. You see people. Amen? You see people. You guys with me right now? Now, do you know those people very well? No. How would you get to know those people if you want to know those people? You have to get on that elevator. You got to go down there. You got to come up to them if they're still there and talk to them and say, I want to get to know you. I want to spend time with you. Okay? Wouldn't that be good? You guys want to do that? Yeah. Well, why am I using this example? Because what we're going to do today, we're on the 54th floor, and we are looking into or down upon the Word of God, the Word of God. And we're looking at it from a skyscraper point of view. That's what we're going to do today because we are going to cover four chapters. Can you guys handle four chapters? Four chapters. On Sundays back in San Diego, we used to do 10 chapters on Sunday evening to do that. So we're only going to do four chapters today. But you got to, we'll do it. We will do it. And what I'm going to do is we're going to basically read through the Word of God and allow the Word of God to speak to us from a skyscraper point of view. And what I'm going to talk about, how important it is to do that, then the opportunity that we have to get on that elevator and stop not on the 54th floor because we're right there, but stop on maybe the 37th floor. And we get off the elevators and we go, wow, what can we find here on this floor? And then what can we find on the 37th floor concerning the Word of God? See, we've gone from this view to down deeper. And then we're going to go all the way down deeper and deeper. And that's what we're to do with the Word of God. We are to approach the Word of God. Chuck Smith has said, if you want to teach or study the Word of God, a chapter in the book of in any book in the Bible here, you should read it at least 25 times before you approach it to study that. And so that is four chapters, 25 times, the book of Philippians. And then you get this oversight. You get this feel for the flow of the Bible. You get an example. The Holy Spirit speaks to you as you're going through it. Then you've got a little note right by your side here, or you got your computer. Okay, you got your pad or whatever you have. You got it right there. And then as you're going through, something sticks out to you. Maybe the 12th time through reading the four chapters, man, I can't believe that's there. I know I've read this 11 times before that, but there it is. And so you put it down there with the purpose to come back and study it more, to go into it as far as doctrine is concerned, to see what it means. You guys with me here? And that's what we should do as Christians. We approach it. And so what I'm doing, I pray, will be an example of what you guys should do individually, definitely as what you men should do in your household. Women to obviously do in their household in that way, setting this example. Okay, here it is, skyscraper view, but I went down to that bottom floor and see the nuggets in the one word that might be there. And so what we're going to do is approach these four chapters that way. Now, in the model that I'm talking about, also, not only do we read the word, but we need to understand why the word potentially can be there. Now, it's guided by the Holy Spirit, but it's very important to understand the author. Who wrote the book of Philippians? Paul. How do we know that? Right there, verse one, first word. That'd be Paul, okay? So that's a good indicator. But what do we know about Paul? What does it teach us in 2 Corinthians about him that he died often? What does that mean? Did he physically die often? I say yes. What does it mean that he carries the weight of the whole church? What does it mean, all of these things that we go in through the Word of God and look at? And so as we understand Paul, we can understand even more so how he writes and what's upon his heart in that way. We know that the letter was written approximately 60 to 63 AD, somewhere in there, more than likely that while Paul was in prison. So we know that. We study that. I wasn't back there at that point. Don't anybody say anything. I was not back there at that point, you know. But, you know, we just have from history, from people that study it, and they'll tell us that more than likely it was written while he was in prison. He was in prison 60 to 63 AD. So in prison, we see as we go through here, that's why he says that. Now I understand. So that's how we approach the Word of God. To whom written? Look at verse 1, please. Everybody there. Paul and Timothy, bondservant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the deacons and bishops. And so we see he's writing to everyone, and in particular there to the leadership of the church. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's his greeting there. And so we see not only the author, we see when it's approximately written, to whom written, that's very important, but then there's purposes. As we go through from the skyscraper point of view, we begin to understand the purposes why Paul wrote this book, why the Holy Spirit inspired him. We see that he comes here and there's a man we're going to see. I'll call him Epi. Okay, Epi. We're going to see him, and that he would not be criticized. He came from this group to Paul in prison. He'd been with him. He became sick. And so we see that's a purpose, to settle their hearts about that. To thank the church in Philippi as you go through here. Over and over, we're going to see him call them their beloved. And we're going to see the word love. But we're going to see joy and rejoicing over and over. Paul wished to encourage the church to be in unity, in harmony. So we'll see that. That's a purpose. We also see he desired to deal with false teachers. He's going to call them dogs. Dogs, that's not very nice, is it? But, you know, but he was intentional on what he wanted to do. Special features concerning the city of Philippi. We learn as we study, we go beyond the word and go, okay, now, what was the city like? What was going on in the city? So we go to other things that tell us about the city of Philippi. We see that it was on one of the main routes of the Roman government had. We see that it was a colony. That tells us a certain thing. We understand what Paul was coming against there. It was a very powerful, powerful city. They followed the Romans in everything, basically, in their customs, in their titles, in their language, in their affairs, and the influence was upon them. Their dress, they followed Rome in that way. So we see that Paul goes in and speaking to these people. So then we understand the spiritual warfare that was going on, and it's instructive to our hearts in that way. We see the church here, Philippi, was Paul's second missionary journey, and we can go to the Word of God, chapter 16 of the book of Acts, and we can see Paul going to that city. And so we read, we go beyond Philippians. Yeah, we go beyond that, and we go to chapter 16 of Acts, and we just see, oh, okay, this is what happened you when you were there, Paul. You were there. You were heading toward Asia. You wanted to do a turn toward the east, but God, the Holy Spirit, said, no, I want you to go west. And so he had him go across the mountain range. On the other side was Macedonia. He had a dream. A man from Macedonia said, come this way. Do we realize what happened at that point? There was a gentleman named, can't remember, but Reverend Wong in Singapore. And I met him one time. And I was there and he did a teaching on this very, chapter 16, on that very subject. If Paul would have only turned, if God would have let him turn to Asia, he said, this is his looking at it, then Asia would be in a different story. But he went to the West, and today we're products of Paul being allowed to go into Europe, and the gospel was taken into Europe. And obviously it's in Asia too, but Paul had to follow the Holy Spirit in that way. So it's a wonderful thing. But one of the most powerful things as we go through this, note how many times, if you can underline in your Bible, it says in Christ or in the Lord as we go through that. You guys ready? So that's a way to approach in your personal studies the Word of God, going through all of these things. I encourage you to do it if you're not. If you are, do it even more. Take time to slow down. Pray over the Scriptures. Pray the Scriptures in your heart. Verse 1 of chapter 1 of Philippians. Got it? Philippians. Paul and Timothy, bondservant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we're on the top of this. We're going to look at this, these four chapters. Let it speak to our hearts today as we go through the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit to speak to us. He starts in verse 3 as we go through the book of Philippians. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So we see this church was a church that was a great blessing to Paul. And then verse 6, this is a 4-star verse. You should have in your Bible 4 stars next to it. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. How many believe that? We believe that today. Be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. I know that you do stand upon that. Sometimes I get discouraged. Sometimes I don't understand what God is doing. But as I look at the Philippians, I look at that and I go, I can be confident that he who has begun a good work in me, I'm saved today, and then that he will continue it and complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm going to trust him with my heart, lean not on my own understanding, in all my ways acknowledge him, and he will direct my path. Amen? Amen? Amen. He goes on and he says, look in verse 7, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, we see that he's got a little southern part in his life, y'all, he says right there, y'all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. I go, Paul, thank you for saying that. I look at that and I go, wow, I'm a partaker of the grace of God. Aren't you guys excited about that? We all are. I mean, we are today rejoicing. Worship was just so sweet. I was just thanking the Lord, thanking the Lord for all that he's doing. And just thanking him that he's given us the Word of God. Wow, the grace of God. Look at verse 8. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you, Paul says, all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray. Now we see his prayer life, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, that you would continue perseverance. He's praying for him. Then verse 11, being filled with the fruits and of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Aren't they 11 wonderful verses? And so we're looking at those. But then we can come down off the 54th floor. We can go down to floor 27 and look at these. And I'd say, I'm going to study just these 11 verses. I'm going to dive in. I'm going to take one of the subjects, fellowship. And what does fellowship mean? Oh, it means, it's translated koinonia. It means sharing in common. Everything that we have belongs to each other. Wow. Is that what you're saying, Lord? Then we can take it even further, how it's applied to our lives and how we can walk in that. And it's an encouragement to us. Verse 12, look at there. I want you to know, brethren, by the things which happened to me, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. They put me in jail, but they turned it for good, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. Here's the first word, in Christ. Notice how often we're going to see this. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. How wonderful. So we learn that we may go through difficulties, but as we go through difficulties and walk through them correctly, that the Lord will heal us and strengthen us and use that. And other people are watching and they'll say, that's how Juan Carlos went through that trial. That's how God worked in his life. And then we will be personally, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in that we have received comfort, then we will in turn be able to comfort others, other people. How do we know all this? How do we know all this? The Word of God. The Word of God. I know I'm, a broken record, but is that okay? Will you guys put up with me for a minute? It's the Word of God. That's how important it is to us. I want you to know, brethren, the things which happened to me there, so that it has become evident to the whole place. My chains are in Christ, and having them confident in my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Verse 15, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, but not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. But watch what the Holy Spirit does. In verse 17, it says, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then, verse 18? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Praise the Lord. Remember me dad and he dad, or my dad, or whatever it was in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came on them and they were prophesying and all that with Moses, and they came up, they were all set, upset. They're not with us. They're there and they're prophesying. And what did he say? He said, let them do it, buddy. God's going to use it. It's a good thing and all that. So we learned that that's good even with Paul. He's saying those things. And how wonderful. Verse 18, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Don't you love verse 21? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That tells me, as we look at this, wow, we don't have to be afraid of death. Paul encourages us, see, to live, it'd be helpful. As he goes on, look at verse 22. But if I, it'll also be good for me. But if I live on in the flesh, verse 22, this will mean fruit from my labor, yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. God's going to do whatever he wants to do with me here in prison. I am hard pressed, verse 23, between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for me. And here comes this beautiful verse 25 again. And be confident of this, that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct, verse 27, be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition and to you of salvation, and that from God. Verse 29, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. Chapter 1, not very long. Amen? Guys, can you do one more chapter? Okay. Can you do one more chapter?
Yes.
Yeah. Just go in there. Well, we did skyscraper view, but instructs us. I pray that it whets our appetite. Oh, I can't wait to get into Philippians. I can't wait to dive into each word and each verse as we do that, because that's what we will do. We will do that. And then hopefully by the end of these four chapters, there will be a radical change in our lives. We'll understand what it means to be confident in this very thing, that he who's begun a good work in us will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you hunger for the word of God? I pray that you do. I pray that you do. On Wednesday nights, before it started, this season started, I prayed. I love Wednesday nights. I absolutely love being there with Wednesday nights. We can slow down. We have food together. We have a great time and all that. And it's an additional teaching of the Word of God. And the people that come on Wednesday nights, I know that they're hungry. They want to come. Now, I know there might be some that can't make it on Wednesday nights, so don't misunderstand me. But there's some that can, and I want to encourage you too, if you're not doing that. It's good to do that. So what I did is I prayed. I just felt, you know, I'm not supposed to teach at this time. And I thought, that's strange. I'm not supposed to teach that. And the Holy Spirit showed me to pick out 5 guys on the staff and let them go through teaching the Word of God. Of all places, Exodus and Leviticus. I thought, oh, this is a good place for them. But part of the reason was that I wanted to turn it into the hands of the young guys so they may understand what it means to teach through the Word of God. Not that they didn't know that, but then had an opportunity as it is on Wednesday nights, because I was teaching it Wednesday night, so I backed off, let them go in there teaching the Word of God, and I've watched Paul teach it, and I've been blessed. I've been sitting there taking notes. I've been blessed. Then after Paul, who came? Tracy came. I was just sitting there, and Tracy taught. I was really blessed by Tracy teaching. Then after that came, my mind is trying to get, not Jordan. Who? Brandon, I'm sorry to forget you. Where are you? Brandon, he's not here. Oh, there you are, right there. Okay, Brandon. Okay, I was blessed by Brandon. I really was. I was blessed to watch him, you know, and just watch him as he teaches. He'll go out and he'll go stand right here on the end of the lights. And I thought, that's great. A little different than me, but that's who he is. He loves doing that. Then if he didn't do that, he came over here and he did this, teaching the Word of God. I'm picking on you. I know that. But I was blessed to watch that. And then Wes is teaching the Word of God. He's teaching through Leviticus and some hard parts of Leviticus, okay? And as I listened to it, I said, that's a man that's in love with God and God's Word. I just listened to him, and it was just like what spoke to me. Are you here, Wes? There you are. Are you in love with Jesus? But I saw that, and I thought, how wonderful. But part of my purpose is to train them, allow them to have an opportunity to see the importance of teaching through the Word of God. Jordan's going to be the next one to teach, and I'm going to sit right front in front with Jordan. No slack. Hello, Jordan. Like that. How wonderful. Is it not? How wonderful. We're taking time to go through 4 chapters. I don't know how to make it. You guys ready? We will be out of here on time. Chapter 2. Look. Therefore, there's an therefore because of everything that came there before there. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, Paul says, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interest, but also for the interests of others. In this wonderful series of verses concerning Jesus, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, the same nature as God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with. In other words, equality with God was not something that he held on to. He was willing to come out of heaven, become one of us. Notice verse 7, but made himself of no reputation. He just stripped himself of everything, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. I can't wait to come off the 54th floor and go down and go into this verse. It is amazing. So when we go in there again, men, ladies, take your families, look at that verse, go to this part of scripture, go to that part of scripture, just go deeper and deeper into it. Look at verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Anybody say Yahoo? This is who we worship today. This is why we study the word of God, that we may know. Look at verse 10, that at the knee of Jesus, every knee shall bow, should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen? We know that because of the word of God. Today, are we hungry for the word of God? Will we take time, if we study a book, we read it 25 times ahead of time so the Holy Spirit can take us from the 54th floor and we can write these things down and just study. Notice he goes on. There's another therefore in this crazy chapter. Look at verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now also in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I have a responsibility is what it teaches me. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. It's all about God. It's telling me that. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That's who we are. We shine as lights in this dark world. Verse 16, be holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out, he said, they're in prison. I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of the Lord. I am glad and rejoice with you all for the same reason you also be glad and rejoice with me. He's saying, if I die, I die. That's who I am. So we learn about Paul's way through this, and we learn that's our attitude. That's what our attitude should be. Verse 19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like it who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, speaking of Timothy, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once as soon as I see how it comes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Verse 25, yet I consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who minister my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, that I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. Chapter 2. You guys still alive? Chapter 2. So we learn about Epi here. We learned that he was a guy to give up his life and do that. Paul's willing to give up his life. That's an example. Are we willing to surrender everything? Give our lives for the Lord, whatever he wants to do. Chapter 3. Notice Paul says what? What's the first word? Finally, my brethren. Now, we're going to see that Paul's a true preacher, because he says finally here, and then verse 1 of chapter 4, guess what he's going to say? He's going to say finally. Okay? All right. But let's go. Chapter 3 is amazing as we're still up on the 54th floor. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For to me is to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Repetition, repetition, repetition. Don't be afraid of hearing the same thing from the Holy Spirit. That's how we learn. Repetition, repetition, repetition. Beware of dogs. He's saying, watch out for those that don't have God's purposes in their heart. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. And I love this section. If we want to try to get into heaven by our own works, try it. Have at it. It's going to be a dead end road. That's what Paul's saying here. This is who I am. He's going to pour it. This is who I was. But then we'll get to 7. Look what he says, who he was there. Though I myself also have confidence in the flesh. Verse 5. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning law, he was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, he persecuted the church. Concerning righteousness, which is in the law, I was blameless. But look at verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Isn't that a wonderful verse? Is that our heart today? Is that my heart today? I don't care, Lord. Take whatever you want. When we came to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, at that point we had a nice house. We had the Mercedes. We had the 240Z at that point. We had all, not that you can't have that, by the way, if you want to give it away, I'll take it. No, I'm only kidding. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, we had all of these things. All of these things that were so important, God took them all away. Took them all away. He did. I was never so happy in all my life. He took us to the inner city of Indianapolis. And there we had a commune. We took people off the streets. I was never so happy in all my life. God took things away. He took things away. It was wonderful. Am I asking him to take it away again? I don't know. No. Whatever he wants to do. How wonderful this is there. He goes on, yet, and I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith that I, and here it comes, verse 7, that I might know him. Is that our hearts today? And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being formed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. It gets better. Look at verse 12. It gets better there as we go through. Not that I have already attained. I'm not there. I'm not complete or have already been perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Behold, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Is that not wonderful? It is. He's teaching us. Yesterday was yesterday. Okay, maybe we did things that we could need to repent of. Okay, let's repent. But then we can't get there till tomorrow. We got to go through today. And today is the day that we have with the Lord. And he's saying, I just rejoice in that. I forget these things that are behind. I press forward to the high call of God in Christ. Do you realize the rapture can come before I complete? Some people are saying, bring it on, Lord. Hurry up. I only got one chapter to go. You know? But we could be with the Lord forever and ever. Anybody excited? I believe that, don't you? I mean, we can be there. Sin is gone. Curse is stopped. He speaks to us in a very special way. How wonderful that is. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Here's that therefore again, verse 15. Because of what was there before there. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we may have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose body is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. There are people out there. It says in 2 Corinthians that Satan himself can appear as an angel of light. That's how deceiving it can be. So we have to be in the Word of God. So then when something comes to us that is false, we'll know it, we'll recognize it, and we'll stay on the straight and narrow, because they're out there trying to rip us off. The church today, unfortunately, is going through difficult times. Truly, I believe, difficult times. Churches that I know that have been strong in the Word are staying strong in the Word. Anybody say praise the Lord for that? But churches I know that have been strong in the Word are varying from the Word of God. It's not good. So we, in our lives, may we stand strong, not that we're better than anyone. Notice verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring it on, Lord, come, who will transform, look at verse 21, our lowly body, that we may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Praise the Lord. We did 3 chapters. Everybody still alive? What have we heard? All the things that we've heard. All the things, if we slow down, from the 54th floor, we've looked at this. And then as we continue to go lower and lower and lower, we get into the Word of God. It changes our heart. Now Paul says, starting it out again, therefore, set my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, as he ends this letter. So stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Follow my example, he's saying, the pattern. I implore Euodia. And I call that woman Sally, because I can't say Syntyche, whatever it is. Okay, that's Sally, to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, verse 3, true companion, help these women who labor with you in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Is your name today written in the book of life? Just pause there. If you doubt it, I pray that you just come to the Lord and say, Lord, I believe. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart. Come into my life. I surrender. Be my Savior. Be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. And then your name written in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Verse 4. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Then that verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, there's that word again. He is wrapping it up this time. Brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything is praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I can't wait to get to that chapter, because we're going to look at what true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report. Don't wait for us. Study it yourself with your families. Then verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. And I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Amen? Say that with me again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now, you Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, which I departed when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving from you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once again and for my necessities. Not that I should seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to you. Look at verse 19. And my God shall supply, what's the next word? Do we believe that? All your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet each saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with you greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And he says, amen. So be it. You guys made it. Everybody still alive? Four chapters of the Word of God. Just allowing ourselves to be bathed in the Word of God. Powerful? You bet. But I can't wait until us to dive in word by word, verse by verse, and see what he will say to us.
Our journey will continue in our next broadcast. Thanks for joining us today. Journey Through the Word is a ministry of Horizon Indy in Indianapolis, Indiana. If you want more info, check us out at horizonindy.org or call 317-823-2349. Join us next time, and you'll hear the pages turn as we journey through the Word. Journey through the Word.
Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at CCBCI.org.